This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the third Almost Famous Podcast without Ben Higgins. Sorry guys, this will happen with me. I hope you guys miss me in a couple weeks when Jared and I are away for our wedding and our honeymoon.
By the way, Jared's here.
And I was just about to introduce you.
I know, I'm kind of ruining the surprise. I'm sorry that I'm replacing Ben Higgins. I feel like Ben's like a Mercedes, and I'm kind of like a, you know, like a Toyota Corolla.
Jared, that's
I'll get you from A to B, but I'm not going to be as sexy as Ben when he does it.
Jared, come on now.
Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit. Or maybe I'm overrating myself.
Jared, you are a Rolls Royce.
Well, you have to say that. You're marrying me.
You are
you don't want
a,
to marry a Toyota
Rover,
Corolla.
A Range Rover.
A Range Rover? How about a Land Rover Discovery?
Jared prefers Land Rovers over Range Rovers. This is his new car ever since we
it's
got
the dream car.
Enterprise rental
It's the hashtag
Land Rover.
Goals.
It is his goals. But I'm like, I heard that these Land Rovers and Range Rovers don't last very long.
Yeah, which is quite
like
unfortunate.
Like 50,000 miles. If you guys are car experts out there, let us know. Well, anyway, the reason that we are recording this episode without Ben.
I could talk about Land Rovers for days. I'm not
gonna lie. Okay, moving on. We are doing this bonus episode because we are having the most luxurious, like most Hollywood. I feel like I'm in Big Little Lies right now.
Because, I'm currently drinking a glass of champagne as we speak.
Because like it's so luxurious and so posh. We're at this beautiful art, Jared and my ultimate decored house right now.
It's like our HGTV dream home, heart reached out, perfection. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just an overload of perfection.
It's all like Jared and I want to make our house kind of like craftsman modern, but not like too modern, like clean but warm. we're in this house where it's got like what are those called
ceilings.
No,
you're pointing up
the wood things.
Panels. Oh, beams.
There's beams. It's an odd shaped
That's
curvature.
A weird thing to choose out. This house is awesome. It's got beams.
Jared, beams are beautiful.
Beams are
beautiful.
You know
beautiful, you like
but there's
beams.
Also a fireplace right there that you didn't
that's
even...
That's not that absurd. That's not super unique.
Anyway, I like fireplaces.
Welcome to our lives. This is the Ashley and Jared Show, and we're just talking the way that we talk on mic or off.
Well, we are talking about weddings, so...
Should we just start, like, let me start kind of fresh right now and saying we are all gathered at this very beautiful Beverly Hills mansion with a lot of our bachelor friends right now because Hulu has put together this amazing, we're calling it a summer soiree for us in celebration of their new rom-com-esque Mindy Kaling produced show Four Weddings and a Funeral. They thought of all podcasts, who can relate to this show the most? And it is the Almost Famous Podcast. Whoa. Because four weddings and a funeral. So it's kind of like every year on The Bachelor, we get like four engagements and we get more than one funeral.
We get a couple funerals. Usually the funerals last in the final four. Feels like a funeral.
Oh, I was going to say like the ones that like continuously get out of a show without a significant other, kind of like me for a while.
What are you talking about? You're engaged.
I don't mean now. I mean like I used to be the funerals.
Or we could. So well, I was going to say, I guess Nick would be the most polarizing one.
Oh,
the
man.
Most
Nick is probably the ultimate funeral. It's really, yeah. He's the bachelor funeral.
No.
Come up with another one.
Oh, God.
Annalise is at the table behind us.
I would say, oh, Annalise, she's so sweet. Poor girl. I'd say Bukowski, not in a bad way, just because Bukowski
so far
is obviously a prominent name right now. He's back on Paradise. He's
after
had a few
his
shots.
Retirement. He yeah. did retire. He came out of retirement for this season.
He's kind of like Jordan coming back with the 4-5. Which, if you guys don't remember, Jordan wore the number 45 when he came back from retirement and then went back to his traditional 23. I know I'm really catering to our bachelor audience by talking about 90s NBA basketball.
Yeah. So we are here in celebration of Four Weddings and a Funeral. Again, it is a Mindy Kaling produced TV show, and it's on Hulu. And I'm very excited about it coming out. I did get to see a little sneak peek. It's really good. If you like, you know,
Mindy Kaling.
Well, yes, every girl, I feel like, of the millennial generation relates to Mindy in some way.
That's why I said
yes.
it.
Okay.
If you like her, you're going to like this show. And everybody likes her.
Hi, I'm cute. I'm funny. I'm awkward. I'm quirky. I am really unlucky in love.
She's the best.
This show is really fun. And a lot of it has the first episode that I got to see revolves around a wedding. And one of the speeches at the wedding was totally butchered. As I feel like a lot of them are. Jared and I found out some information this week about the speeches at our wedding, and we would like to regale you with this tale, and we would like your feedback. And if you have passionate feedback, you should email my sister because she's the center of the problem.
Well, pretty much, story goes, Ashley's sister Lauren is the maid of honor. Obviously, she has to give a speech at the wedding because that's what maid of honors do. She hates public speaking, and so now we're kind of a little bit of in a conundrum because she's very nervous and unsure if she wants to do it at the wedding or the rehearsal dinner.
Tell her what she told our wedding planner.
Well, could have also been the telephone effect. So we found out this information from our wedding planner, and we know how this works. One person tells somebody something, and then it gets turned into a different thing, and then they tell them something different. Anyway, point is, from what we heard, Ashley's maid of honor wants to do a speech at the rehearsal dinner and not the wedding because it's a more intimate, smaller setting. She's going to feel more comfortable giving a speech rather than in front of, you know, potentially 175-ish people, where half of them she might really not know who they are because it might be my side of the family who she has not met yet.
Yeah, but it's less. I actually find it less nerve-wracking to talk in front of people I don't know. A room of people I don't know is less nerve-wracking than a whole bunch of people I really care about. Wouldn't you think?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm trying to think of high school. But I guess that's a bad comparison.
Yeah, I don't know. The classes that I felt like the closest to, I'd sometimes get the most nervous with because if I didn't really have a connection with them, I'd assume that they weren't even listening. But I do think a wedding is a little different in that case.
And also my friends were far more torturous in high school. You know, my guy friends would just make fun of me for anything. Now my friends are far more supportive, so I'd rather give a speech in front of them because they would just tell me it's good even if I butchered it just to try to be nice. But back in high school... Even if I killed the speech, they'd be like, bro, you sucked.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's high school.
That's high school boys. Girls don't do that. Anyway, so this is just like something that I have been obviously sort of dreaming of my whole life. Like my sister and I have always joked about giving speeches at each other's weddings. And we've always honestly joked about Lauren's stage fright or public speaking fear.
What happens if you're not Lauren's maid of honor?
Jared, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say.
I was just thinking about that. How awkward would it be, Jared, if you made Lauren your maid of honor, and then in the past couple of years, Lauren was like, you know what? I want somebody else.
Jared, that's like, I'm going to cry.
I'm sorry.
The weirdest thing you've ever said.
I'm just thrown out.
You guys, if you like follow my life to any degree, and because you listen to this podcast, I feel like you know how close I am to my sister. We've lived together for many years. In fact, she just lived with Jared for the past year.
Yeah.
And you saw us on Paradise together and you see how close we are. We have a podcast. Like, we are like Siamese twins.
What if she wants me to be her maid of honor? You know, like that Patrick Dempsey movie?
Dempsey, excuse me.
I knew that.
What was that called?
Maid of Honor, but it was spelled M A D E. Yes, it was. I will bet $10,000.
Maid of honor, M-A-D-E?
Yes.
All right, fine. I'm not even wagering on this because you might be right.
Well, that's not fun. Maid of honor. M-A-D-E.
All right.
Feeling good. Feeling strong, guys.
Okay. Anyway, so I've always joked. How many times do I say anyway? I've always joked about my sister being nervous. My friends and I have always talked about how like somebody else was going to have to read her speech at my wedding. But now she goes to our wedding planner and she's like, so I'm trying to get out of giving the speech.
I don't think it went down that way. Let's not throw her under the bus.
I don't think it did either. But that's what he made it seem like a couple days ago. And like, I was like, Troy, let's not be dramatic.
No, because then we'd have to get a replacement. And it's just, come on now.
No, I think she's just going to suck it up. But
she'll suck it up.
I guess my question for you guys listening is, my sister says that her having to give a speech at the reception is going to ruin her entire day. And she's not going to be able to focus on anything else until it's over. Should I just allow her to do it at the reception? Or should I allow her to do it at the rehearsal dinner? Should I make her do it at the reception? Or do we kind of find this happy medium where, like, she records her speech or she lip syncs her speech?
I know that people are going to really hate me right now, but that's okay. She has to do it.
No, I think she has to do it too.
Because I know everybody's going to say that Lauren should feel comfortable and don't make her do anything that she doesn't want to do. Fair enough. I understand that. But at the end of the day, sometimes you suck up your own pride or insecurities to do something for somebody that's very important in your life on one of the most important days of their life. And not for me. She's not doing it for me or anybody else except for you.
Yeah.
You know? I don't even know. We're really dramatizing
this,
by the way.
No, we really are.
We don't even know if she doesn't want to do it at the wedding. We're just creating storylines right now. What if she objects before I say I do, Ashley?
Jared, okay, that's a question for the next topic. I want to finish this out by saying I think it's like my sister is not a shy person at all. She's super outspoken and blunt and funny and, you know, like, she doesn't hide in the shadows. She doesn't come across as a nervous person. So that's why I feel like I don't even believe her fear of public speaking. Because I'm like, Lauren, you're just like, you're very she's not outgoing, but, you know, she's not afraid to talk to people.
No, I agree. I'm just thinking of people that would object before we say I do.
Okay, we'll move on to this now.
I was thinking Dean would do it just to mess things up.
Didn't he say that the other day? I'm going to do it just for, like, giggles?
Yeah. I don't think he'll actually do it, but I think there's a part of him that might just yell it.
No.
And then he'll smile and all be forgiven.
That.
No, I know. I agree.
If anything, well, I guess we can tell. Should we break some news? Should we break some news about our officiant?
Probably not.
I will tease it a bit. So because it is, what is it, today's date? July.
Well, let's not give the exact date away.
Jared, we are recording this right now on July 23rd.
All right.
And that's why I'm telling people why we made this decision.
Listen, we've talked about it a lot, having Tanner officiate our wedding, because he's been very close to both of us and been very close to our relationship and has been there through every step of the way, both him and Jade. But Jade's pregnant, and we don't know when the baby will come, so we may have had to change some plans.
We had to go with our backup officiant. I think we've been pretty open the entire time, ever since we found out that Tanner and Jade's baby, we can tell you, is due the same week as our wedding, okay? The same week.
It's right around each other.
So when they told us that back in February...
Yeah, I think it was.
We were like, okay, well, we're going to have to get a backup. And for some reason, I really, truly thought that she was going to, like, have the baby a month early.
Yeah.
And now we are a lot closer.
Yeah, the clock's ticking now. Well, I think what really changed our mind, one, I think we both thought Jade was going to have the baby early just because Emmy came a month early. And for those of you who don't know, which probably everybody listening to this podcast knows, Emmy is Tanner and Jade's firstborn daughter who came a month early. And apparently, if a mother has a baby early, there's a 20% more likelihood that if she gets pregnant again, she'll have a baby early again.
Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. Well, she may still have it early, but
not as early as Emmy.
Not as early, not a month early.
So when we found out the news, we obviously had to go with the backup officiant, or at least plan, you know.
No, when we kind of gave him until, like, you know, we gave them, like, until a certain date. We're like, if they don't have the baby by then we're probably going to have to go with a backup because we, like, actually have to work on getting our ceremony put
together. Now, because we don't want both, you know, both people to have to go through the whole production of officiating, including, like, what to wear, what to prepare, what to say, things of that nature. So, you know, the date that we kind of set came and passed, and I think Ashley and I had to make the decision of what direction we were going to move forward in. And it kind of sucks because as much as we love the person who's officiating, which I don't want to spoil it because I'd rather just have it be that day.
Yeah, I want to keep it. I want to keep the surprise now.
And we love him. I mean, I can't speak highly, you know, we speak so highly of him. He's just an awesome, awesome person. And we're very excited. I'm very excited to be standing at the altar with this particular person. But of course, there's a part
of me
that's really sad.
It's not Ben, though. We have to say that.
No, it's not Ben. It's somebody that we talked a lot.
People, I remember when we first said it was Tanner, people got annoyed at me because back before we were together, I had one time made a passing comment on the podcast that I would love to have Ben officiate my wedding. I think that would be wonderful.
Of course.
But now that it's Jared and I together, there were other people that I felt like had been more involved in Jared and I getting together.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows the history, you know, if they're fans of you, they know the history of our relationship. And so I think there have been certain people within that time period that have been very instrumental in not only our relationship and engagement, but our friendship as well. And I think when we got together and got engaged and we're deciding who we want to officiate our wedding, we were thinking about those people that had been so integral. And not that Ben hasn't been, but I think there's just been other people that we thought of that were like, okay, this is the person that we want there, that I want standing at the altar with me, because they've been there every step of the way.
And we knew that their tone of the ceremony that they put together is going to be like just a tone that we feel personally
our officiant
bonded
now,
to.
I can't wait. I mean, he already told us what the first thing he's going to say is.
We busted out laughing.
And I mean, crying. And so I'm very excited. I'm just excited for the wedding to get here because we're you know, the clock's ticking now. It's almost here. And it's just been a lot, really stressful. And I think it sucks because anybody who's planning a wedding, I think, has been at this point now where everything is just becoming logistics and about money and number counting. And it just, you kind of like forget, holy crap, we're getting married here soon. Mm-hmm. And we're getting bogged down with so many different materialistic things that I can't even enjoy the moment because we just got to like get through this. And that's what really stinks. It's like, okay, well, we just got to hurry up and get through these things. And then we'll enjoy, you know, the time after that. But the time after that is going to be like 3 days before the wedding. And so that's, I think, the hardest part, because you put so much time, at least Ashley and I have put so much time and effort into this wedding, trying to make it the best we possibly can for us, our guests, and just make it, you know, the wedding we've always dreamed of. It sucks that we're so stressed out by it now. And so, I don't know, I think both of us are trying to take a step back and enjoy the moment.
But we don't want Jared to make it seem like this is a funeral. But we do want to thank Hulu for bringing us together tonight to celebrate their new show, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Four Weddings and a Funeral is a new Hulu original series produced by Mindy Kaling. The four main characters in the series are friends from college. Maya lives in New York, while her other three closest college friends are in London.
One of your closest friends lives in New York.
I have a couple of friends in New York. I have one in state, one in the city. And I really only get to see them like a couple times a year at big events like my bridal shower that we just had. So the wedding is bringing people together from like all different parts of the country. And that's one of the things we're most excited about.
Nobody from London as of yet.
No.
But you never know what's going to happen in the next few weeks.
No. But you can catch the premiere of the new rom-com series, Four Weddings and a Funeral, July 31st, only on Hulu. Now we are joined by a couple who, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but could have a wedding in their future. They've been together for a year now. We are joined by Joe and Kendall.
Yeah.
Hello there. Hello, guys. So we were talking about wedding speeches a minute ago. Have you ever been to a wedding where there was somebody who just bombed the speech?
Yes.
Okay, tell your stories.
Go first, Joe.
You want me to go first? Okay, so it was my cousin's wedding. And it was my cousin. She cried the entire speech.
Well,
but not because she was sad. Not because she was sad. Because she was so nervous. And she couldn't deliver the speech. And I know how that is. Because I do get nervous. But she was, it was so bad. And it went on for, I hope she doesn't listen to this actually. But she probably will. It went on for like 25 minutes. Where people were like, oh my God, this is horrible. And a part of me wanted to get up and stop it, but I didn't. And then that's how 25 minutes
of crying because she was standing up there. You would think that she'd just be like, blah, 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 no, blah, and then just sit down.
She went through the entire speech. It was probably like two notebook pages full of, you know.
She put a lot of thought into that.
She did, and she didn't want to, you know, she couldn't give it up.
Hold on.
I'm not joking.
So how, I believe every second, every word. How long were her crying episodes? So she would like say a paragraph, cry for 3 minutes, and then go on?
I would say she would say maybe two sentences and then cry.
Are you sure she wasn't just overly emotional? Why do you think it was crying from nerves?
Because she was shaking.
Okay, so she was nervous, but she's just an emotional wreck.
It was her cousin. I mean, who gets really that emotional when a cousin gets married?
Maybe
I mean, they're close, but it wasn't like just like a regular cousin getting married and she's giving a speech, but she was nervous. There was a lot of people there. There was like 400 people there.
Oh, whoa.
That's a big wedding.
I think there was 400 people too.
Hmm?
I thought I'd be nervous in front of 400 people too.
No, but it was still the worst speech I ever heard.
You know? Okay, Kendall, how about yours?
I actually used to be a wedding photographer assistant.
Why do I feel like you could basically go through the most random occupations and Kendall
will
be like,
I've done that.
I've had literally so many different weird jobs, but yes, I was an assistant photographer for weddings. And so I've seen a lot of different speeches. The worst speech, and I feel really bad because I think it was the bridesmaid. The maid of honor. And I feel like she really tried to be funny in her speech, but her entire speech, she was saying how she didn't like the groom when they first met. And she's like, yeah, he ate so many bananas. I used to call him a monkey. And no one laughed. Like, literally no one laughed. Yeah. And we were just sitting there like, ooh. And then she's like, yeah, I just didn't like him when we first met. And I was like, you don't deserve my friend. And she just kept going. And no one was like laughing at all. She's like, ha.
God,
and,
there was the
speech basically that we at the wedding we were at in January.
What was he saying though? I don't remember specifics.
He was the brother of the bride, and he was just
total hardo. You know what I mean?
Like a hardo,
like a
hard no,
like a tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. He was railing on the groom, and we thought he was gonna like lighten up and turn a corner.
He was
he never
the
did.
Bride's brother.
Yeah. Oh, so okay. He had like a little, some little.
So he had a little.
I don't know who let him speak, but he was just, I mean, everything. It wasn't even funny. It was just like, yeah, the groom's a dick.
Yeah, I was like, he's a dick.
And then
dick.
Just silence, and you're like, wait, was that? Am I supposed to be laughing?
It was
right
one
now?
Of those moments where everybody at the tables were looking at each other, being like, oh God, we feel so bad for that.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was great. I thought it was the best speech I ever heard.
The entertainment value.
Oh,
do you guys
perfect.
Look forward to the speeches at weddings?
I look forward to actually giving one.
Oh, how many have you done?
I've never given a speech at a wedding.
You know.
But I'm looking for
a speech.
I mean, that's like, I really want my brother to get married for that selfish reason that I could go up there and be like,
I feel like you'd rock.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Oh, yeah. He'd like took a whole stand-up comedy spot.
Do you do stand-up now? Are you trying to do
it? I might get back into it.
Ooh.
I did it.
Back into it?
Yeah, I did it before I did the whole reality.
I was going to say, like, can we talk about growth here? You were the most nervous man coming out of the limo.
Well, I wasn't good at stand-up, but I did it.
Well, I love the parts. I love the wedding speeches. They're my favorite part of weddings. And
so
I don't
personal.
Understand why so many people are like, oh, it's the speeches. Are they over yet? I'm like, they're the best part.
Oh, it's the best part.
That's how you hear the whole entire backstory of everything. Like, that's like the whole fairy tale that leads up to the actual moment. Like, that's very much worthy of time.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys planned out who would give speeches at your, you know, weddings in your head?
Oh, yeah. I would have my sister, hands down, give a speech. My twin sister.
So, we were talking about how my sister is too nervous to give a speech and wants to do it at the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, she's
how
the
messed
maid
up
of honor.
Is that? She's
surprised.
We're going to force her.
She doesn't seem like a nervous person.
That's exactly why I said she can't get away with it.
Oh, she'll feel fine, though, I think, once she gets up there. It's just,
hopefully
she won't cry and shake the entire time like the person Joe was talking
about. She'll probably be up there for 25 minutes just saying nonsense as she's crying. Have you guys talked about it?
We didn't talk. Wait, who do you want to give a speech at your wedding, Joe?
I would have my brother. Mm-hmm. I only have one sibling, so we're really close.
Brother?
Yeah.
Is he still in Chicago?
He is. He's a policeman.
Mm-hmm. Policeman in Chicago. That's a badass.
Yeah.
That's a tough, that's a tough gig
right there.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys have been together for a year now.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It's been a year.
Have you not noticed?
Do you know what your anniversary is? Because
no,
we
do not
know. We have weird anniversaries.
Yeah, we don't really know. Because
I think August, I think sometime in August, that's when we officially announced that we are together.
Yeah.
I've known you for over a year.
Yeah, we've been living, we've basically, I met Kendall, I've been living with her ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is it, how's living together?
It's easy.
Yeah, it's great.
I would just say it's easy. I mean, that's, I think that's how you can tell a relationship works, is when you live together, you feel like, it's just fun, you know?
It is.
Yeah, I always find that with Ashley and I, one of our, the best things about our relationship is that I never really feel like I need time away from her. There's past relationships where I just feel like I need to be away from this person for a little while just to kind of get some air. But it never, a lot of the times when I'm with Ashley, there is this sense of being alone, mm-hmm. but not.
It's super weird.
Yeah, we I can understand like, that.
It's a great feeling though, because there's really has not been a moment yet where I've thought I need to get out of the house.
That's mm-hmm. great. Sometimes I feel like you are at that point, but it's nice to know that you feel like you've never gotten there.
Not out of the house, maybe out of the room.
Yeah. I never feel like I have to.
Joe will literally go on a 15-minute run. I'm like, when are you coming back? Like,
yeah,
what?
That happened today.
And it did happen today.
She missed me. I went on a 15-minute
well,
run.
Well, because
yeah.
I like jumped on a bed and hurt my neck. So I haven't been
yeah,
able
let's
to
talk
run
about
with
that.
Him.
Yeah, she's jumping on bed still.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Come on,
hold
guys.
On.
You know how you jump on the bed. Come on.
Hold on. So Joe went for a run, and you thought this is a great opportunity for me to jump on the bed by myself.
No, I jumped on the bed previous to the run, and I hurt my neck, so I couldn't go on a run because it irritated my neck too much.
Are you talking about like Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone jumping on the bed?
Yes,
I was trying to do a slow motion video.
And she was getting mad at me that I wasn't jumping on the bed. And then I tried to leap over the table and jump on the bed, and I almost broke my head.
What we do to freaking social media, you know, we're putting our body at jeopardy.
I kind of want to be a fly on the wall in your household right now.
It's
a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. It is
a lot of pillows and jumping on beds and
pillows. You guys have
pillows.
A lot of pillow. Pillow
we
fight.
We actually do
like,
have
well,
a lot
yeah,
of
we
pillows.
Initially, it was supposed to be a pillow fight, and then it went from a pillow fight to jumping on the bed.
Then it turned to something else.
And then,
I was
going to
say, I know.
It's getting hot in here. Holy moly!
I was like, Jared and I need to like start getting like our hearts up more at our
guys.
Like,
it was a
like,
nap. What do you think I'm talking about?
Yeah,
we have you know we have very healthy you know
babe.
Thanks. I'm just saying, we do, you know. We get it on.
Someone take the wine away from this guy.
All right, this is
I don't.
I've been drinking lemonade.
I just want to keep. I just want Joe to keep talking right now.
Me
keep,
too. Gosh, I'm getting all red.
What's
going to
come out next?
Nervous.
Joe has really come out of his shell since we met him on
this
The Bachelor.
Yeah,
it
really
was very
enjoying.
Hard. I remember when you first interviewed me.
Oh my God, it was you were the hardest interview I've ever had.
Yeah, I wasn't easy, but
and now it's just flowing.
Now you can't get him to stop talking.
I like it.
Like Joe, how was your time on The Bachelorette? Man, it was cool. You know,
only met the love of my life. Oh no, not Bachelorette. That was Paradise.
No, yeah, Paradise, not Bachelorette.
Oh.
I didn't even meet the Bachelorette.
Did you talk to her night one?
A little stand up
did
right
you?
There.
Yeah, he did. And she said that he was so nervous that it was like actually a turnoff for her, which is why I didn't get through that night.
Oh, that's what she said? Okay.
That's okay.
I'll remember that one.
Oh, maybe I'm putting words into Becca's mouth.
No, it probably was. It was probably a turnoff.
Well, she was probably like, if we, you know, just
well, it was bad.
Couldn't have an easy, flowy conversation.
I loved that Joe was nervous. I mean, I think the first time we hung out in Paradise, he brought me this whole plate of fruits and vegetables and started like naming all the different fruits and vegetables, and he was so sweaty.
I was sweating, and then I knew that I was sweating, and she called me out on it, and it just kept coming, and I'm like, oh my God.
I thought
God,
it was so cute,
this
though.
This is so bad.
Like, this guy's well hydrated. Like,
on The Bachelorette for Becca's, I walked up to her. I'm like, so like, what's your pet peeve? And then after I said it, I'm like, oh my God,
what'd you
I
say?
Sound like, I sound like my grandmother right now. And she was so confused. She's like, what? She's like, what's your pet peeve? I'm like, when people stand in front of me at the airport waiting for their luggage.
There's what? You mean at the carousel?
I do have something to say about that. I hate when people walk right in front of you when you're trying to get your luggage.
It's like, this is my lane. Get out
of
my
Jared,
lane.
I agree with you.
You had a guy, he said the other day, like the bag dropped and he goes, excuse me, that's my bag. And the guy literally just kept standing there.
I mean, it was L.A. What did I expect him to be nice to me? That's I'm in the wrong town.
That's true.
He's like, my bag is far superior to your bag.
That's a weird pet peeve.
That and the people at Disneyland that walk really slow.
Oh, yeah. Slow walkers are bad.
One thing that Joe's had to learn about being in a relationship with me is that my family goes to Disneyland. We go to Disneyland every week. My dad works for Disney, so we're always going to Disneyland. So we have to deal with the slow walkers of Disneyland.
We had to have a serious conversation.
We did actually have a very serious conversation.
The fact that I told him, like, listen, I can't keep going to Disneyland.
He's like, I'm a grown adult. That's the more reason why you should go.
Jared wants to go to Disneyland and especially Universal Studios.
Well, yeah.
Way more than we do.
Well, they just, the Jurassic World ride just opened.
But specifically Orlando. He doesn't want to go around here. He wants to take a trip to Orlando just for the theme park.
Well, Orlando's is far better. That is
Orlando
experience.
Is way better. Also, Harry Potter Land is way better. I mean, I haven't been, but I've heard stories.
Oh, the difference is
Gringotts Bank
immense.
Is there.
Yeah, you're missing out.
Disney
girl.
World is even way better than Disneyland. I'll just say it. I think everyone's thinking it. It's massive.
Oh, it's way better. Yeah. There's four different parks in Disney World.
Yeah.
Disneyland, it's like
a
puddle.
I mean, they opened up Star Wars World,
Galaxy's
which is,
Edge.
Which is really, I mean,
anyway, we don't have to talk
even
about Star Wars
about
Disney.
It gives me anxiety.
Anyway,
Disney World.
Anyway, let's go back to yours.
Back to weddings. Okay, fine. Jared, you ask the next question, then I have the next one.
All right. Well, I was just going to say, we're talking about Hulu's Four Weddings and a Funeral. So we're talking about weddings here. You guys have been together for over a year. You're in the bachelor world. So being together for a year is pretty much like growing old together. Is there an engagement? Have you guys talked about the future, kids, engagement, marriage?
Yeah, we actually.
Or you guys just keep having pillow fights?
That's a part of the engagement.
Which is a fantastic thing. Not saying a bad thing.
She said that's part of the engagement.
There's going to be like a ring inside the pillow and I'll like get hit in the head with it. No. But I feel like since we've met, engagement has been a part of the conversation, which is weird.
It's bachelor world, you know?
Yeah. And we've also, I mean, I think we're each other's longest relationship we've ever been in. Mm-hmm. So.
Really?
Yeah. That's interesting for both of you. Yeah. A year is your longest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year is my longest too. Yeah. And we've been together for a year and a half.
For a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, actually, my longest.
I was about to say, your math made no sense there. My longest relationship is a year. We've been together for a year and a half.
My real, real relationship that was beyond a few months.
Yeah. My longest relationship was 4 years. Yeah. It was a big one.
That's long.
A long time ago. Yeah. Early
20s. But he was young. It was like 19 to 23.
Yep. So
there will be an engagement in our future if we last 4 years.
This is
before
true.
I'm saying before the 4 years.
Do you have a timeline?
Not really.
Well, I mean, for me, I would definitely, I want it to be a surprise.
Okay. This is
so
true.
So I'm hoping to do it on the next season of The Bachelor. But yeah, I mean, I want it to be a surprise. And I feel like we are very much in love and we have a great time. And we enjoy living together.
We're definitely
comfortable
with the idea of engagement.
Yeah.
I would say.
I mean, it could come any day now, but it's going to be a little bit.
Is it happening right now?
It's
Joe's
a matter
getting down
of fact.
On his knee. Yeah. He's getting something from his pocket. play by play.
My last question for you guys, in this Hulu show, Four Weddings and a Funeral, the groom is kind of in love with the bride's best friend.
Oh, dang.
And there's like a lot of awkwardness at their wedding that you see at the end of the first episode. And I'm thinking that would have been one of the circumstances. Oh, it's kind of how it is. He was like, I'm not going to marry you. How have you ever been to a wedding where...
Does anybody know what the hell she's talking about?
I don't
about?
Do. Not like I do. Oh, like I do not do.
I don't do. I get it.
I don't I
get
do, it. Jared.
I don't
what do.
What
do you mean I don't do?
Like, you know, like, I do you? I do?
No, like I backed out.
Yeah,
like,
so he
no
says
more.
I don't do?
No, he just
he
says...
He doesn't actually
he
say
just,
that.
He just says no. Like I
Yeah,
I
no.
Messed
he
up.
Says no.
Okay, I got it now.
Like,
I get
it. I don't want to marry you.
All right.
I don't love you. I love your sister.
Got it.
I have a twin sister, so...
Yeah, that's true. This kid... This is... Well, this...
That's a whole other conversation. Have you guys ever been to a wedding or heard stories where somebody either says, I don't, they back out the day of, or somebody who says, I object? I actually did a whole podcast episode, and if you're really interested, you go to my other podcast and search it, but we did a whole episode of people with objections
at the altar.
Wow. Okay.
And there were, surprisingly, we got enough stories for a whole podcast episode. Joe's nodding his head over here.
I have a great one.
Okay, really? Go for it.
I personally don't know the guy, but I heard this. Ooh. Okay, so the day of the wedding, he found out like a week before the wedding that she was sleeping with someone else.
This is usually how it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what he did was, and he had pictures of them together, like sleeping together. So he printed out a bunch of pictures. He printed out a bunch of pictures, put them underneath all the seats at the wedding.
Oh my God, this is worse than the story I was going
to
share.
And then as he was about to say I do, he called her out. I think they had a projector screen or something. And boom, and he said, like, look under your seats. She's, you know, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And then...
Yeah. You don't yada, yada over sex, man.
Is that a Seinfeld quote or something?
It is.
It is. And he walked out.
Wow.
And that was it.
So that's the story, I heard was very similar. When the bride was supposed to read her vows, she ended up reading text messages between the groom and the mistress.
That's guys, awesome.
That's such an expensive call out. That's a good one too.
That's a good one.
Such an expensive way to break
call out. It's like we're still having dinner afterwards. Like, you know,
they said that they did. They went and partied afterward. Like they took advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean you have to.
I mean you only live once, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yada yada.
Find out your spouse is cheating. Just do it at the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Expose him at the wedding.
That's like a whole nother YOLO. Level of cold.
Yeah. Crazy stuff, guys. Yeah. Well, Joe, Kendall, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Thank you on this very special Four Weddings and a Funeral episode of the Almost Famous Podcast.
Yes. And Joe, before you go, we heard something really cool that you're doing.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I have a clothing line that I will be dropping August 1st. It's called Frown Clothing. You can follow us on Instagram at Frown Clothing.
Why frown?
Why frown? Yeah.
So frown, we are doing the word frown upside down. And we have partnered with a charity called Smile Train that fixes cleft lip. So...
Oh, it's so incredible. Sweet.
Yeah, and we have hoodies and t-shirts, and we're going to drop a bunch of different items of clothing, and we're spreading smiles, yes.
And I'm assuming they can... A
little positivity in this negative social media world.
Totally, and I'm assuming everybody can find that on your Instagram?
And you can definitely find that on my Instagram and on our Instagram at Frown Clothing.
Well,
awesome.
Why was cleft lips a thing for you?
Because it just went hand in hand with... what we were trying to spread. Do with just, yeah, with smiling, and it works.
Yeah.
And Smile Train's a great charity. They're awesome.
Awesome. Amazing. We're excited. August 1st.
August 1st.
Check
or,
it out.
Or August 7th. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Within the first
all
week.
All right. We'll look out
within
for
the
that
first week of August.
Keep everybody on their toes. Stay tuned, guys. August 1st or 7th.
I know you guys are going to watch Four Weddings and a Funeral after this podcast because you've just heard it talked about too much for you not to just break your curiosity and click on it when you see it on Hulu. It's under their original series. Relationships are forged and broken. Political scandals are exposed. London's social life lampooned. Love affairs ignited and doused. And of course, there are four weddings and a funeral. Of course, Duffy has a secret crush on Maya, and Craig is trying to help. A secret crush. Have I ever had a secret crush? I feel like all of my crushes in high school were secret. I never told my friends about them. What about you, babe?
Oh, yeah. We talked about this on a podcast a while ago about a crush you had in high school, but you never had the guts to tell them that you actually liked them.
No, that was in grad school.
No. For me, it was a high school girl.
Oh, yeah. Then we did this episode before we were together.
Yeah, I sent her flowers on Valentine's Day. I don't know if you guys remember that. Mm-hmm. In high school, you were able to send little chocolates or flowers to somebody's homeroom desk. I did that, and then I didn't have the guts to tell her I liked her. And I was like, oh, I just wanted you to have a good day.
You're just such a cute little chubby kid.
Terrible.
You can catch all the drama in Four Weddings and a Funeral, a new rom-com series produced by Mindy Kaling, premiering July 31st, only on Hulu. Hey guys, we are joined now by Heather Martin from Colton Season. I'm sorry, but you were notoriously known for having your first kiss with Colton.
Yes.
So now I gotta ask, how do you feel about couples practicing their wedding altar kiss?
Practicing it?
Don't you feel like you need to practice it before
I've
getting up there?
I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Neither have I, and I'm getting married in a little while.
Well, what are you talking about, babe? We were talking about how you better not pick me up there.
That was a joke. Of course I'm not going to peck you.
He does. Now we joke. Now he pecks me in real life and he goes, okay, let's go. Like he pretends as if he's...
Wait, is that a thing to practice?
Yeah.
I have never heard of that in my entire
life.
Neither
have I. I think Ashley's making this up.
I want to make sure that we have like a tasteful, romantic kiss.
What does that entail? Like, what is a tasteful?
A real lip lock, but no tongue.
Okay.
That's fine. Do we need to practice
that? Are you going to practice?
I feel like we've done that a million times. I mean,
timing, how long it'll be.
How long?
You want it to be like absolutely perfect? Is that what you're saying?
I think it should be. I think it should be rehearsed like once or twice.
Interesting. Sure. I've never thought about that. Ever.
I just thought kissing was kissing. Whatever feels right in the moment, babe. If a peck feels right, I think we should just do it.
There's a couple things that I tell Jared if he were to do on our wedding. Peck me at the altar and then put too much gel in his hair. I'd be like, okay, I'm mad.
Good Lord in heaven.
Would you rather have a peck or like him like go at it? Like which one's...
I'd rather him go at it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Tori's shaking her head.
Okay, yeah.
You'd rather have
a peck at the altar?
Could you imagine seeing a bride and groom or any couple up there just give a peck as if they don't passionately love each other on their wedding day? I'd rather see like tongue, saliva, makeout
sesh. I think a peck too.
No, what peck is like, do they like each other?
When I watch wedding shows... like wedding docuseries, I have seen some sloppy gross kisses at the altar. I'll say that. That's not appealing.
No one likes it.
No one likes it.
No, nobody likes
it. But peck is true. You think like, do they actually like each other?
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys, it's your wedding day. I know you're getting married, but at the end of the day, let's show some emotion and passion here. Yeah. Anyway, Heather, you were on Colton season. What are you up to now? Have you kissed anybody else in Colton season?
She hasn't.
Everyone asked me that. That's
the first
question.
So bad.
I have not.
I asked her this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no.
Well, no. It's obviously your choice. It has to be. You are a striking, beautiful woman.
Thank you.
It's true. I'm saying that to be nice to Ashley. Don't kill me. Like, it's true. It's true. No, it's always like this weird thing now that, because I like to compliment everybody, but it's weird as an engaged man.
I don't feel weird for you complimenting anyone.
All right, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
As long as you don't feel weird.
You shouldn't feel weird with me complimenting anyone.
It depends on how you compliment.
See, he does. He doesn't like it.
It depends. Because there'll be times where we're watching The Bachelorette and somebody will say like, oh, that guy's sexy. And Ashley will be like, I know, he is sexy. And it's like, you're not allowed to say sexy about any other man besides me anymore.
Sometimes I feel like I've just like slipped out things. Like when we're with our like, you know, bachelor friends, like I think I've said to like Ben and Dean, I'd be like, you look great. You look so good. You look so good today. Like outfit looks awesome. Your hair looks nice. And I can see
Jared here. She doesn't say your hair looks nice. You always like compliment their looks or how good looking they are. And it's like, all right, Ash, settle down.
See, he doesn't settle like, down. He doesn't, you don't like it. I can't like do it. The compliment thing.
Compliments to a certain extent. I think every person, a lot of people feel the way I do.
Yeah.
You know, where you're in a relationship and you're like, all right, so, you know, take it back a little bit.
But I feel like
you're
that's kind of who
anymore.
Ashley is, though. You kind of compliment everyone in general, right?
Well, I think Ashley and I have actually talked about this.
We both
a lot.
Do that. We both make people feel good by truly telling them about like what we find very appealing about them.
But I think Ashley,
they used to call me a flurgeon on the show. They used
you
to call
are.
Me a flirty virgin. That was what the producers called.
Flurgeon.
Well, you're very flirty, and you're also, it's going to sound, I hope this doesn't sound bad, you're kind of a fangirl.
Yeah, that's not sound bad at all.
But when being a fangirl,
being a fangirl.
But when you see someone who you view as, you know, very good looking boy band or whatever, you know, your type is, you end up fangirling over them. And
well, it's also not, like my role as host.
I know. But I remember it caused it. I'm not even going to lie. It caused issues in our relationship early on.
There was a couple moments where he was like,
I got pissed.
I could see the way that you looked at him.
And it's like, I know it's, I know nothing would ever happen. It's not that I think that you would cheat on me or anything like that. It's more, imagine if I looked at a woman the way you look at some guys.
See, I argued this with Jared. I think when guys look at girls and like, they like think about their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
When guys talk about a girl's appearance, it's more like, oh, she's hot, I'd like to bang her. With girls, it's like, oh, he's hot, I want to look at him.
I agree. You know? I totally agree.
That's a double standard.
I totally agree with
no,
that.
It's not a double standard.
That's a double standard.
We're not as sexually oriented when it comes to like visuals. We need like a lot more to be like sexually attractive.
So if I looked at a girl the way that you look at some guys, and I know that it's not any, like, I know you love me and you find me very attractive.
I tell you that you're the hottest person I know, I've ever seen every single day.
I know, and you're so supportive and so, you hype me up.
Yeah.
All the time. And I love you about that. But if I looked at girls the way sometimes you look at guys, just in terms of that awe, you would kill me.
I do think it's a double standard though, because yeah. girls do that all the time. Like actors, musicians, girls who are married and so happily married can just go off about like how much they have like a crush or like they're fangirling over somebody, but it's a double standard. But I think there is a certain innocence to our crushes that guys don't have innocence
about. It does feel different. It totally is a double standard. Like it totally is, but there's something different about it. There really is.
This is absurd.
There really is.
It's two against one right now as well.
I hate double standards though. This is like his biggest thing in life.
Well, I don't like double standards in any facet of life, whether it's, you know, towards women or towards men.
I'm not saying what I do is right. But I know that what I do is very innocent.
Oh, I know it is too. Yeah. It's just more of course, you know, as any person, if you saw your significant other kind of like in awe of somebody else's looks, you would be like, wow, this feels like crap.
It can't feel good.
Yeah, and it's not anything intentional. Yeah.
Also, yesterday when we were watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I was drooling over Margot Robbie more than Leo. Like, I was like, oh my God, her face.
Totally. But I do that with guys all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I drool over Tom Brady.
You do.
But it's not just the...
You do drool over guys more than girls, though.
I know. Actually, you know what's really funny?
What?
This is a kind of a small story. So, I'm a big Rob Thomas fan.
Mm-hmm.
We've become friendly. Long story short, we were hanging out with him before his last concert in Boston. Uh-huh. And he looked at Ashley and me, and he's like, you know, the more I get to know Jared, the more I realize that all his, like, crushes are guys. And then he was like, but
what are you trying to say, Rob?
No. But he's like, I totally get that. Cause when I think about it, all my crushes are guys too. Cause like, as a guy, it's like, I, you know, obviously someone like Margot Robbie is stunning and beautiful, but if you're asking like, who would I rather meet, Margot Robbie or Tom Brady, or even like Margot Robbie or Leonardo DiCaprio, it's not even a question. I want to meet Leo every day of the week and twice on Sunday. You know? And I don't know. That's just like my way of thinking, because I'm like, man, I think it's also like, because I want to be like that.
Yeah, you want to be like that.
You know?
Yeah. And you already have your girl. So like, what's the point?
Well, exactly. That's what we were also saying to Rob Thomas. We're one... Our hall passes, we can't have hall passes because they're too attainable.
Nope.
Which is understandable.
They're too attainable?
They're too attainable. Like, we could just casually run into them on the street. Or,
we
like,
could
we're
meet
one
our
degree,
hall passes, Tori.
We're 1 degree of separation from them. You know what I mean?
It's, like, not even funny anymore, because she told me, who's your hall pass again?
Well, I think Joe Jonas is my number one hall pass.
All right, who's it? Milo Ventimiglia.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Every girl in the room is now raising
their
hands.
Multiple praise hands about Joe and Milo. I obviously have a type between Joe, Milo, and Jared.
Not to mention that I just saw a trailer for a dog movie that's coming out starring Milo. I was like, good God.
The dog movie looks so warm and snuggly.
If there wasn't just enough women in the world that will go see that movie. But it's interesting because... Like, that could happen. We know someone who knows him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that could, we could easily just meet him, and then Ashley be like, well, that's my hall pass. Said it.
That's not my hall pass. So then when we start having this hall pass conversation, which originated like a year ago when we first got engaged, I was like, let's not use the word hall pass, because that would infer that we wanted to like, bang them.
For sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's not like a, like, I have a celebrity crush. I'm like, these are my celebrity crushes. They're not hall passes.
Okay, that's
but
fine.
I
that
will
different.
Say that
different.
With Leo, I think you'd almost want me to get with Leo.
No.
Would you?
And see, people misconstrue that all the time, because when I talk about like someone like Brady, they're like, oh, you would totally make out with Brady. And it's like no.
Like you personally or she?
Yeah, no, me. Oh, you know, because they're like, oh, you love him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, one, there's different types of love. You know, there is, like, the way I love my parents is not the same way I love my Ashley.
The same way as I love Tom Brady.
Yes, I agree. But it's, I forget where I was going with this.
I don't really know where we're going with all of this.
I don't know. We just
You wouldn't make out with Tom Brady.
I think that
no,
he
not
should.
That there's anything
I
wrong with that.
Given the opportunity,
but just,
he should make out with Tom Brady.
No, I would
that's just
hang
not
out
what
with
you
Tom
want.
Brady.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Like I said, not there's anything wrong with that. People want to make out with Tom Brady. I totally get it. It's just not my preference. I want to grab a beer with Brady, even though he doesn't drink beer, I don't think, because he's the, you know, a health nut.
I think
nut.
He does.
I think
occasion.
Everyone. Oh, he does. Yeah, he chugged the beer. Remember that time?
Like on like somebody's Insta story.
It was known as Stephen Bronx. Colbert.
Oh, okay.
And where he did the, he chugged a beer in like half a second. Anyway, wow, we really
I
went
love
off topic
it.
There.
Really went off topic.
Oh my gosh.
Heather, who are your celebrity crushes?
Oh.
So yeah, who's your number one?
We can arrange
one?
Your next kiss. Since these are all like one degree of separations, we can try to arrange this.
Oh, that's such a big question.
Oh, there's, got,
there's so many.
There's nobody that comes to mind. Like even just like a few names that you're like, oh, that person, this person.
Like since like forever, like since Cinderella story, like Chad Michael Murray. He's
no,
like
Chad
happily
Michael
married.
Murray's a fantastic but celebrity crush.
There's
totally
nothing
underrated.
Better than Chad Michael Murray.
Isn't there
Chad
somebody?
Michael
oh,
Murray in,
John Paul
in
Jones.
One Tree Hill. He doesn't look that much like him. They're both very attractive men, but I don't think John Paul Jones looks too much like. She's saying no.
All right, never
you have got to watch like, One Tree Hill.
Oh
Jared,
my gosh,
it's a show
One
that
Tree
you
Hill.
Would actually like. And I
you
was convinced
like it.
While watching it that Chad Michael Murray was the hottest person in the entire world.
I think so.
I really enjoyed Chackle. Holy Chackle. Crap! Chad Michael Murray in House of Wax.
Oh, okay.
I know nobody. Yeah, of course you haven't. Obviously, I'm
I've
only,
heard
I'm
of it.
Idiot.
Paris Hilton's in there.
Yeah, Paris Hilton. There's a couple other people I can't remember. What else do I know Chad Michael Murray from? Because I know he's from Cinderella Story, but he's in One.
Oh,
Tree
Freaky
Line.
Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Oh, maybe that's yeah. A lot. That's where I know him from.
Yeah, Chad Michael Murray is a great celebrity crush.
He's just
like, for,
like he's
getting
like the
undercover
ultimate.
One.
Yeah, he's a good one.
All right, so he's married.
Chad,
I
who's
think.
Number two?
I think he's married.
Oh. Let's pick a single crush, and we'll have our emailers call
oh
in
gosh.
With connections. But really, Amy's just connected to everyone.
Dang
so.
It! I should have come up
come
with
on,
this one before.
On.
Are you like a '90s heartthrob girl, or are you kind
she's
of like 2000?
She's 23. She's
you're
like born 23 in like
2000. Years old.
I'm 23.
Holy crap! I'm old.
I know. She's like almost a decade younger than us.
Who's all right? What about Justin Timberlake?
No, it's like probably too old for her.
No, I like Justin Timberlake.
Right,
but he wasn't like my ultimate. Like when I was
what about One Direction?
A sophomore in high school, okay. I kissed Harry Styles on the cheek, and
what?
It was the best day of my entire life.
So you should say that's your first.
Yes.
Kiss.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Colton's
go.
Great and all, but
I met him. I stalked him to a golf course. Like I heard my friend was golfing. And I heard he was there, and I literally, like, we had a math final the next day, and I was like, I do not care. I stalked him to the golf course, got the picture, kissed him on the cheek with my friend. I think it's the best day of my life. Like, literally still to this day, like, I will, like, the feeling of, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Harry Styles.
What was
fantastic.
What was his cheek like?
It was great.
And he was
soft?
Super nice, right?
Super nice.
Everybody
super,
says
well, he was, like,
kindest.
Trying to run away from everyone, but, like, I found him. Like, I was going.
Yeah.
Found him. No one else got a picture except me and my friend, and we just, like, stalked into his car.
That's amazing.
It was an amazing moment.
How do you feel about his casting as Prince Eric?
Well, oh!
It's not official yet, I don't think.
Oh, Lauren called me, like, shrieking
yeah.
that it was official.
That's what I heard, too. Yeah.
It's official?
Is it not official? I don't know.
I
heard
think
about
it's
it.
Official yet. Because I looked it up when Lauren called, and
oh,
I don't think it's official yet.
Oh, really?
He would
I've
be
heard
great.
That too.
He was great in
he's
Dunkirk,
perfect.
If you guys saw that.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, he can act.
There you
man, man, many talents.
I think that What's-His-Name did a great job as Elton John in Rocketman,
oh,
but I still think that Targon.
Tegger
and Arkenton?
Egerton.
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 Yeah,
Taron
Egerton. Gosh. Yeah. But I still think Harry could have really killed that role, too. Okay, well, we are going on and on and on. Heather, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
got
you
some
for
good
having
stuff
me.
Out of you.
That was great.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Heather.
I know you guys are probably missing Ben very much. You're like, wow, Ashley really needs Ben to hold this podcast down. Well, that's a busy man. He's been in Switzerland, okay? He has these companies to run, and now he has something else on his plate. It is The Bachelor Live on stage, and he is the host of this live tour. They're hitting up a bunch of cities all throughout the country. It's going to be kind of like a game show, and Ben is hosting the whole shebang. You can go get more information at BachelorLiveOnStage.com.
Four Weddings and a Funeral is a new Hulu original series focusing on the lives of four college friends and their different relationship and career crisis. One of the main characters, Craig, has a girlfriend named Zara, who is an outsider to the college friend group. Ashley, you ever been an outsider? I feel like you've always been an outsider.
What do you mean? You're being sarcastic,
not in a bad
right?
way.
What do you mean? Because I always like embrace myself full-heartedly.
I don't think
wholeheartedly.
I don't remember stories of you having really a
oh yeah,
close
I don't have a
friend
have a,
high school group.
I don't have wow, an outsider, Jared. It's called somebody who has a lot of friends in different groups. I never had like a core group. No, I know it was really sad.
It is sad,
but I think
really
that's why I love the Bachelor
either.
Family so much, because it's like my first group of friends that we can all hang together and like we all relate to each other and we all get along. Because other than that, I've always just had like my friend here, my friend here, my friend here, my friend here, my friend here.
I think you could probably relate to this coming from The Bachelor, just like I was, I guess. Have you ever had, do you ever disliked a friend's friend?
Like a friend's friend?
Like you're close with a friend and you're like, I love you. But then they always bring another friend around that you have to hang out with because they're friends, but you don't like them.
Gonna be honest, because nobody's sticking out, I'm gonna say no.
No, even in the Bachelor world, I feel like that's a given.
The Bachelor world, no, I like almost everyone.
Well, that's fair. You're a very sweet person. Now you can catch all the drama in Four Weddings and a Funeral, a new rom-com series produced by Mindy Kaling, premiering July 31st only on Hulu.
Okay, guys, we are joined by Crystal, who's become really like
a
regular on this podcast. Like, she's been on maybe three of the past six episodes, I feel like. But I have a great question that I want to concentrate on with our segment with Crystal, because she just got married and because we're about to get married. And because this has been something that Jared and I have bickered about when going to other people's weddings.
Ooh.
The question is... And we asked the Instagram audience this a couple months ago. How much do you give a couple if you're giving money?
Yeah, so like, say you're like you're giving money at a wedding as a gift. How much do you give per person?
Per person, per couple.
Do you even do it by per person? I'm so confused by this because we went to a wedding a couple months ago. Not yours, but somebody else's wedding. We went to your wedding as well, and it was quite beautiful. But we went to another wedding before that a couple months ago. And I was like, oh, we should give this amount. And Ashley was like,
are
you
insane? I was like, Jared, how cheap are you? That's so embarrassing.
And I was like, what are you talking about? This is a good amount of
money. Was it $100?
So it was a little bit more than that.
Okay. I say that it should be about $200 a couple and about $100 per individual.
You know, I think it's so interesting because when you buy gifts, you're buying the gifts, and I would spend probably at least a couple $100 individually.
Yeah.
When it's money, it's so different because it's such a different category, isn't it? And I actually haven't. Are we going to figure out how much money I'm giving to you at your wedding?
We don't want anything.
This is
perfect.
Don't give
this
anything.
Is perfect.
No, I'm being honest because so many of our guests, Ashley gets mad at me every time I say this, but I really don't want that many gifts just because I know Ashley's going to slap me. But I feel bad for everybody who has to pay money to fly out, get a hotel. It's not cheap.
So
the gift is kind of secondary. The most important thing is we want people there.
Yeah, but it is nice to give. And I think that Chris and I asked for, we didn't really ask for a lot of presents. We asked for like money towards like our little honey fund. And I really enjoyed that because we actually get to create experiences. And I know like when it comes to money, I think that it's interesting, but I think minimum $100 a person.
Yeah, like I think minimum. So too. And it seemed like Instagram was, I said with Instagram, the Instagram poll, I said around 100 or around 200. And most people said around 200. Jared expected, he thought like the norm was like less than $75 a person. You thought it was around $75.
Well, I never even quantified it as per person. I was just like, here's money for the couple. I never was like, oh, I got to spend at least $75 per person.
No, Jared, yes. So if they get their tables, their plates that they like, your dinner costs them at least $50 usually.
I know. So it's so crazy. Like years ago when I first started like going to weddings and had like my friends that started getting married, I remember sitting down with her and my friend Ashley and going over. She's like, yeah, it's like $150 a head
And I was like, wait,
that's what?
That's
it costs to have you there.
What? And she's like, and was complaining about like people not RSVPing or people wanting to bring plus ones that weren't like in serious relationships. And I never seen it from that bridal perspective before, but I was like, oh my gosh, there is so much that goes into having guests there. So y'all, RSVP to the wedding.
Yeah. RSVP is a big one. I used to not RSVP. I'm
such a jerk. According to the registry of what the bride and groom are asking for. And I would say I personally like doing gifts, even if it's just like experiences. Mm-hmm. So like,
well, those are the
what you can probably expect from me is like a little note that says what this wedding will be used for, because it's like an experience. And yeah. I like having like that little quantifiable contribution.
No, I liked your registry because it was like money for the honeymoon, money for this, and money for that.
But it was like airline, Uber, food at this kind of restaurant.
I thought that was pretty thoughtful and pretty cool.
What are you guys doing?
We have our Crate and Barrel registry, and then we also have like a honeymoon, we have like a house fund. We're calling it our house fund because we always spend so much time together watching HGTV and dreaming about our ideal house.
Dreaming.
That I feel like everything we do is like, okay, this is going to go to our house one day.
Yeah, I mean, every kind of like penny we save.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, this is going towards our house.
Where is that house
going
to be?
That's a great question.
The house will be in Rhode Island.
Well, somewhere in the East Coast.
Somewhere like around there.
Probably. Just LA, it's so expensive.
The dollar doesn't go far.
No. You don't get the bang for the buck out here, and it sucks. It's just like, why would I pay for a house over here? It's like, yeah, here's a 2,000 square foot house, 2 bedrooms, 1.5 bath, $2 million. And it's like, what?
I know.
It's insane.
No, when I first moved out to California in 2012, I was looking on Zillow just for fun.
I could afford
anything because I was like a server. But I saw in Studio City, 450 square foot studio. $950,000. And I was like, I'm coming from like Montana and Idaho, and I was like, is this what it is out here?
Yeah, you just turn right back around.
Oh,
let me get back in my Honda Accord.
How long did you work in the hospitality industry for?
I worked in food and beverage for 12 years.
Wow, high five.
Yeah, a little closer to 13, actually.
I worked in it for, my first job was 15, busing at Cello's. Cello's in Warwick, Rhode Island.
Was
I was
a
busser.
Italian restaurant?
No, it was like a hometown, like family vibe.
Cello's, have I been there?
Yeah, we went to Cello's on the water. Different
on the
water. One. Yeah, it was a different one. But anyway, I've worked for, 11, 12 years in the hospitality industry. But I know you treat everybody so well, and you're so personable with everybody, and you can tell that you have a background working with people. And I've always said, everybody, it should be a college course to work in the food industry or any type of hospitality, hotel, because dealing with people teaches you
how to deal with people,
how to be a nice person, you know, to look at somebody in the eyes, to respond to somebody.
I think even just to speak respectfully.
Yeah.
Even to just, I know as a server, there were many, many moments where I just felt so degraded taking someone's order. And I'm like, I'm trying to serve your family, lady.
Oh, yeah.
Like, your kids are screaming. I'm here, like, helping out.
I was bartending, too, after the show at times. And it was the worst feeling ever. Because so many times people would come in.
Oh, it's so weird.
And
so
they would be like, oh, my God, you're Jared from The Bachelor. What the hell? Like, they'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so excited to meet you. Because if you're on TV, they immediately assume that you have fame and fortune. And it was just sometimes really difficult because then I'd be like, no, I'm bartending here. Like, can I get you something to drink? And it was just like this weird, surreal moment, I think, for them, because they were like, oh, my God, I thought, like, what are you doing here? You were on TV. And it's like, that's not how reality TV works, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, whenever you say
well, did they tip you good?
Sometimes. I remember, not to be weird, I would get numbers all the time. It was the thing.
But when he was working in LA, when we first like started dating and he was bartending, because he really just wanted to bartend.
Well, I wanted to work.
Yeah, he wanted someplace to go and like to have a structure to his day. I used to like pick him up and I'd be like, so did you get any numbers? Did anybody hit on you? I love my guy getting hit on by other people.
So
is that
wacko.
Weird? I like knowing that I have something that other people want.
So weird.
But you didn't have him at that time.
No, I did. No, this is when we were dating.
We were in LA. Oh, we were dating.
Yeah.
Oh, so when did you quit bartending?
No, like he came back to it for a while in LA.
I stopped in like May, I think. May or June. Probably June last year. Yeah, just about a year ago. Oh. But it just, everything kind of picked up and everything was so busy and it was just impossible. It was like, oh, I can work next Sunday and next Tuesday, and it was impossible. You know,
can I ask, how did it feel to put in your resignation?
Oh, well, I've quit a few jobs. It's always the worst. I've gotten better at it as I've done it more often, and then you realize that it's not anything personal. It's just, I've never quit a job because I've hated the job. You know, I've always quit because there was either a better opportunity or I had to leave or something along those lines. So I don't think I've ever really had that experience of being like, I hate this place, I'm quitting. It's always been, I have a better opportunity, or I just can't fit it in my schedule. And that's what happened with
So for me, mine was different. My first job was actually as a dishwasher at a truck stop.
Yeah, you were telling us that.
And I used to walk 2 miles each way to go like, wash dishes.
That's something my mom would tell me. That's something my mom would tell 15. me.
Back when chocolate used to cost a nickel.
I know, so long.
I walk 2 miles to school. I know. You kids are so ungrateful.
And then at one point the school bus would like drop me off like in school, in high school, like my freshman year. Christmas. Yo, I was hustling. Like, I grew up with a single mom who really couldn't ever provide. I remember on The Bachelor, I talked about in third grade, I bought myself a comforter for my bed because mine had holes. My mom like couldn't afford it. And so I saved up all my birthday money and my Christmas money. And while my siblings were out buying candy, I bought like a beautiful comforter with like floral on it, which is now like hideous. But I was like so proud. So I've always had this like ethic to just really know that it's going to be me out there, like me like providing for myself. And I really carried that ethic throughout, you know, my entire life because of that. So when I quit bartending, I remember I would stand there and I would be bartending like my last like year, and I would like pull out the little receipt and like get that extra paper, and I would pull out a little customer pad and start writing down like my mission statement of like my job, my career, like my dreams and what I was going to do and all the steps I was going to take. And I would just be like so connected with it and know that like when I was there, granted, I was so grateful to be working, to be making money. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed bartending. It was really, really fun. But I knew that I wasn't living my potential. And so part of me was just really like held back and feeling just, you know, like a flower that just couldn't blossom.
Yeah.
As long as I stayed safe. And so when I quit, also my mom bartended for 25 years and I got to see her just never really go after her dreams. And it was really hard to see
the same
that
with my mom.
So that was a huge fear for me, was that I would never amount to anything else. I would only be that. I would only play it safe in the world.
Yeah.
And my dreams would go like uncovered, like, or still covered. And so for me to quit, it was this huge, huge moment for me. And granted, I like quit to go make like minimum wage as a fitness instructor. But for me, it wasn't the job. It was just that the expression of like the soul and the work I was doing and contributing out to the world.
Yeah. Going after what you want. I'm going to tell a quick story, and Ashley's definitely going to hate me for this.
Why?
And I apologize.
Why?
Well, there's a great story that I've heard that I've repeated to Ashley many times that Jim Carrey talks about, and he talks about his father. And he says, my father was the funniest guy, funnier than me, could have been a great comedian, but he was scared because that seemed out of possibility. And so he took a safe job as an accountant. And when Jim Carrey was 13 years old, his father got fired from that job and they had to do whatever they had to do to survive. And he learned a lot of great lessons, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want to do, so you might as well go after what you love. And that's a line that's always stuck with me, and it's something that I preach and I don't practice.
Don't practice.
It's you know, because it is hard, because you do have this idea of taking these safe jobs because it looks like it's, you know, there's stability there and security there, but there really isn't. There's no such thing as a safe job, and so I give you a lot of credit for kind of being able to get out of your own way and go after the things you want. Because especially coming from your background, and I think I can relate a little bit. You see a lot of your friends. There's so much potential, and there's so many things that they want to do. And then all of a sudden, 15 years go by, and they're still bartending. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I was a lifelong bartender, But I think that there's a lot of people that wish they could do more, and just all of a sudden they fall into this comfort zone, and then years go by and it's like, holy crap.
I mean, it's scary to take chances.
It's really scary.
And I think that I feel so grateful for going on the show The Bachelor, because I mean, for everyone that we've met in our Bachelor family, I mean, like, we all just said yes to a crazy opportunity that was so out of the norm. And we just like went into it, and we like surrendered into it, and it's taken us on this river of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And either you pull over because it's too tumultuous for you to handle, or you just continue to ride it, and then you learn the attitude that you want when you're on the river. Like, is it hard? Is it, you know, uncomfortable, or is it like an exciting adventure? And you can't wait to see what's around the bend.
Totally. And I remember before we went on the show, I'm sorry, now I'm on a tangent. I'm sorry, Ashley.
Yeah.
We're wrapping.
But it's okay. I love the conversation.
I just want to say one last thing, because it's along the same lines that you were talking about when deciding going on the show or not. And I remember having a moment to myself thinking, why would I not go on the show? And it was because I was scared. I was scared of what people would think of me. And it brought me back to another quote, which was, people make decisions based out of fear all the time, and they disguise it as practicality. Mm. And I knew that if I didn't do the show, it was because I was making excuses, and it was really because I was scared. And so I ended up going on the show, and it worked out well, because now I'm engaged.
Your only real risk in life that you took?
That's not true. I take risks all the time. Not, I don't take them all, but I take some risks.
What was the last risk you took?
I mean, I'm in LA.
Okay, yeah.
That's a fair... We're together.
You,
that was a
you
risk.
You took a risk. You live in LA because of me.
No gel on the wedding day? That's going to be a big risk.
That's awesome. Well, I want to take this opportunity to just call out to make Jared feel very awkward. His dream is to work in movies. And this is like his next big... This is like a leap that he would love to take, but has no idea how to get into.
Where are you going with this?
So I want to know if any of our listeners want to email Ben and Ashley at iHeartMedia.com and just let us know if there's any opportunities at any movie studios or anything where Jared can involve himself further in the movie industry.
Yes.
And he's looking at me with total judgment right now, but...
No, we all had... The three of us had this conversation the other night.
Well, we did.
And we were talking about Jared living out his dreams and owning it and being unapologetic about it. So
yes.
Tell us right here, right now, your dream. Own it.
I want to go home.
No! Tell us. You gotta name it. You gotta claim it.
Put it out there. You're putting it out there.
I don't know.
Nope. You
yes,
know.
You do.
I don't know. Sure. Nope. Work
don't
in movies.
Say I don't
yeah,
know.
I agree.
You
want
to? He'd like to write, produce,
capacity.
Direct, act, any of that.
Yeah, I just love films. I love the idea of creating a story from scratch and creating a world and characters and really telling a compelling story. And so that's why I love movies. And I love the there's just. It's the creative side of it that really gets me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we don't have to talk about this. We're talking about four weddings and a funeral. That's what we're talking
about. If you guys have any jobs out there.
Good Lord.
It's Ben and Ashley at iHeartMedia.com.
Anyway,
okay.
Well, that's a good way to wrap it up.
I also just wanted to throw in there some things that I felt about gifts for weddings. I think it also has to do with how far and how much you traveled to go to the wedding. Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with how close you are to the couple.
Yeah, there's all different factors in there.
Like Jared and I went to this wedding in Nashville. We spent... Yep. So much money to get there.
Well, you know, yeah, it was expensive.
And you're
it was well worth
it's a nice friend of yours.
Oh yeah,
but like
we
definitely wouldn't have, we didn't give as much as we normally would have because it was such an expense, I think.
Yeah, of course. And everybody has to factor then, which is why I want people to factor it in when they come to our wedding.
Yeah, totally. No. I feel the exact same way for people who are coming in from like flights. Okay.
Coming in
from like flights. Yes.
not horseback or
no.
So if you're coming in for one of our flights, or you're just going to watch Four Weddings and a Funeral at home on your couch, it is the new Hulu original series that focuses on the lives of four college friends and their different relationship and career crises. In the premiere, the friends gather for a wedding that is filled with drama and surprises. Maya messes up at Ainsley's wedding. why do unexpected things always happen at weddings? There's always something. Our wedding planner is like, all these horrible things are going to happen and you're not even going to know about them because I'm going to take care of it completely. And then I'll tell you the next day what happened.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Jared, wow, money well spent. One.
Do you still want to, he wants to kill me for.
No, what? No, continue.
All right, well, I will make sure to inform you guys of all the crises that happen behind the scenes at our wedding. But for right now, you can catch all the drama in Four Weddings and a Funeral, a new rom-com series produced by Mindy Kaling, premiering July 31st, only on Hulu. Guys, well, thank you for joining me for this extended podcast, a very, very long one that I thought was going to be a short beat, but it was so good because everybody loves talking about weddings so much.
Yay.
Thanks for being my co-host to my future husband.
Of course,
my
baby.
Almost husband.
The final countdown. You guys, married life is the best. You're going to love it. And for people who say it doesn't feel any different, they're wrong.
Okay.
Feels.
I like that.
It feels so freaking awesome.
That's so good.
That's really great to hear.
You're so happy. Mm-hmm.
Yay. Aw, thanks, Crystal.
You. All right, guys. Thank you so much again for feedback on anything we talked about today. Please email Ben and Ashley at iHeartMedia.com. And until next time, I've been Ashley.
I've been Jared.
And I've been Crystal.
Toodaloo.
Ciao.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.